Welcome to the Abundant Life Podcast, bringing you encouragement and challenging believers to spiritual change and growth by applying biblical principles to everyday life. And now your hosts, Sasso Mendez and Ben Arellano.
Welcome, everybody, to the Abundant Live Podcast. This is episode number 11. This is going to be the last one for this year, right?
I think so.
Wow.
Unless something changes.
Another week gets inserted in there somehow.
Yeah, we can do that.
Groundhog Day, something weird.
It's possible. Snow Day, but probably not likely in Arizona.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, for sure.
So how you doing this past week, bro?
I am. I'm sorry, guys. This is supposed to go out earlier this week, but I was sick, and I was cool with recording, but my wife said you're probably, I don't know if I have the COVID. I don't want to spread out fake news out there, but I was sick, and so best not to share things at Christmas time that are sickness related. Gifts are okay, but not here, Ben. Here's a cold. So just like previous episode, Ben was sick, so we stayed away and took a week. And then this time, this is a season where everybody kind of gets sick. But I'm thankful I wasn't sick for Christmas. But yeah, I'm feeling a lot better now. And nobody got sick from me. But I'm glad we stayed away just in case. You know, I don't want to get you sick and mess up your Christmas.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was cool with it, man. But yeah, I hear you. And I thank you. Thank you for, for staying away, I guess.
Yeah, we can share tacos, but not here. Here's a cold one. Here's SARS. There you go.
We'll swap Vicks.
Enjoy.
Here's some Vicks.
And that was the thing. I put Vicks up my nose and I couldn't even smell Vicks. So that was alarming to me because Vicks always brought me back to my senses. Dude,
Vicks is powerful stuff, bro.
And it had no effect on me.
My mom used to put that on my, when I was a kid, she used to put it on my feet and then throw like socks on. And then she'd put them all over my chest and my little bit on my nostrils. And dude, I was Vicks'd up, bro.
I don't think it tells you on the bottle to not put it in your nostrils. That Rebecca told me. I'm like, nobody follows that.
No.
Did she put it on your tonsils too? My mom put it on my neck sometimes, on my back.
Yeah.
And then when you laid down, it was just like a warm sensation all through your body.
Yeah. And then she would put almost like a humidifier, and she'd put some in there too. So like the whole room would smell.
Before they had the vape, the Vicks sponsored.
Back in the day. Before that.
Well, the thing, have you ever had Alka-Seltzer?
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's pretty nasty, right?
Yeah, it's okay.
That's when I knew I was sick because I didn't taste anything. It just felt cold on going down. So I'm like, man, I really can't taste and smell. This is bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But thank God my taste came back after a couple of days. So,
yeah.
I don't know what that was, to be honest. Who knows? I didn't get tested, but.
Who knows, man?
Yeah. But, I still worked. So,
yeah.
My work didn't care. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Get to work. There's things to do. But other than that, I mean, yesterday Christmas was very, very good.
Yeah.
I spent time with mother-in-law, and then my parents and sister came over. And typically Hispanic families will celebrate the 24th is typically when we would celebrate. So we celebrated the 24th with my mom and dad. And then my kids got a lot of presents. I got stuff I wanted, which is cool. And then I was able to give my parents and my sister gifts. How did you celebrate Christmas, Ben?
Yeah, so we went over to mom and dad's about 9 o'clock and
Christmas Eve.
Christmas morning.
Oh, okay.
And for traditional for us is we make tamales. You know, so my parents made. I think they made them. They made them Christmas Eve.
Wow, that's fresh.
But I don't know. I think they might have had a fresh batch in the morning because they were pretty fresh. And we sat down, had some tamales, and. And then we opened gifts and just kind of hung out, and I took a little nap because I was tired, and then we got invited to a friend's house after that, and had a nice Christmas dinner and a little bit of fellowship. And
did they eat ham and turkey?
No, dude, they did pulled pork.
Really? That's different.
And then my buddy Chuck was there, and he made this chipotle salsa. So we put that on the pork, and dude, that was pretty legit, man.
Charles likes hot stuff, though. I mean,
it wasn't hot, though. It was just tasty. It was
good. Trust him when he says it's not hot. You know what I mean?
It was good. It was good, man. It was definitely good.
Like him and Chris Owens is just, they like the hot stuff.
I like spicy stuff. I just don't like it to the point where you just, like, you don't even taste. It's just all you feel is fire. Like, I want to taste it. I want to taste. No, Richardson's was good, though, dude.
But remember, she brought out that salsa, whatever that was, and it was pretty hot.
It was that green one.
Did you get the green one when you went to eat there or no?
No, I had the red.
Oh, because that green one was
Yeah, no, the red had some punch, but it wasn't to the point where I couldn't taste my food.
Did Charles, because I know he grows his own chiles, did he grow that or was it bought, store-bought?
No, he made it homemade. I don't know where he got the chipotle from. Because
you know he's have a little jalapeno, whatever garden, yeah, chili garden.
He has, yeah, he's got habanero, he's got, I think he has serrano, I think he has, the little one, chiltepin.
Did that chilipin or no
chilipin? Oh man, he got those ones from Mexico. So his father-in-law brought that plant
over the border. Wow.
Yeah, I don't know if I was supposed to say that on the air.
It went over the wall. The wall couldn't hold them back.
We won't name names, but yeah, those chilipins, dude. Then you dry them out and you get a little crusher and crush them, and dude, those things are good, man.
You know what's a undercover secret is the In-N-Out. Those little chilies are pretty fire too. I don't know if you had them.
Those little chili peppers. I've never. Yeah, I think I have tried them. You know, the thing is, I don't like pickled. Hot. I don't like chili pickled chilies.
So are they pickled?
They're pickled. I think.
Really? Because they're hot.
Yeah, they got some punch. I've tried them, but yeah, I'm just not big into pickled chilies.
Well, that's why I thought they were just straight pickled. So I put a bunch, and I'm like, ooh, mistake. Wow.
Fire.
The next fire. Day, fire. You know what I mean? It was bad.
Yes. So, yes, I know what you mean.
Yeah. So did you guys stay there all night or what? Just hung out and watch any movies?
No movies. We did a little fire pit towards the evening. Oh, sun went down.
Outside?
We did a fire pit. Yeah, that was nice. Yeah, the kids did some marshmallows and that kind of thing. And then, yeah, came home. So it was a nice, pleasant day. It was actually a really nice day, too. I think it almost got up to 70 degrees.
I think it was 70 degrees.
Yeah,
it was beautiful. The door open.
Beautiful day.
Very nice. Today was very nice, too. Went with my in-laws, and my brother-in-law got he's like 6'5 and has electric scooter bike, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
That's like, looks way too small for him. But anyway, I was hoping one of the kids would fall in the pool with it because they were going by it, but they didn't. I wasn't lucky enough to see that. But my sister-in-law was on there, and I was like, oh, she's going in the pool. But she didn't make it.
No one fell in the pool.
No, sadly not. I wanted to see that.
That pool, I bet that pool's cold too, man.
Yeah, I've been great with the bike in there. But yeah.
Electric bike.
Yeah, it would add it to the, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
That wouldn't have been good, probably.
Been funny, though, but maybe, funny, not, yes. Maybe not good.
Yep. So anyway, yeah. So I guess we're going to get into the episode here. So again, this episode was supposed to come out last Tuesday, which would have been Christmas Eve, right?
22nd?
Oh, 22nd, right.
Yep.
So anyway, we were trying to get this episode out before Christmas. Just because the content of this is talking about the birth of Jesus. So better late than never. And right. So we're going to go ahead and get started here. And we're simply just going to read some scripture that relates to the birth of the Messiah. What I want to jump into first is a little prophecy, because I just think it's amazing that, Jesus' birth was prophesied, I mean, hundreds of years prior to his birth. And I mean, you know, even from, you read from Genesis 1, from creation, I mean, God had a plan for mankind. I mean, you know, man fell, and because God can't go against his nature, I mean, yeah, I mean, a lot of people say, well, why didn't he just, you know, blot the sin away, or why didn't he just take it away and make everything perfect again? Well, he can't go against his nature, but he did something amazing. He made this amazing plan for redemption, and it was from the beginning. I mean, he had this plan, and so I just kind of want to touch on a little bit of the Old Testament. I think Sasa was going to hit some Old Testament, and then we'll finish with the birth of Christ. So I'm going to go back to Daniel chapter 9, and here we find Daniel, and he's praying, he's confessing sin to the Lord. He's in prayer. And then all of a sudden, an angel appears, Gabriel appears to him, and he has this vision, and he gives him this vision about, what's to come. And it's amazing because he gives him this vision. It's, and it covers like the future, like in its entirety. I mean, not only from Christ's birth, but even to his crucifixion and the coming of Antichrist and just like all of this end time type stuff, which is really fascinating. What I really want to focus on, though, is just the fact that he's talking about the Messiah this far back. So I'm just going to read a little bit here. And then we'll jump into Isaiah. So starting in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24, it says, 70 weeks are decreed about your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin and to atone for iniquity. So there's the first key right there, atone for iniquity, to cover sin, right? To bring everlasting righteousness, to seal both vision and prophet, and to anoint a most holy place. It says, know therefore and understand that from the going out of the word to restore and build Jerusalem to the coming of an anointed one. Now, I think in the King James, it says the coming of the Messiah. Okay, that's right. So same thing. And then it says a prince, there shall be 7 weeks. So there's the first introduction we have to Jesus, to the birth of Jesus. So I'm going to go ahead and just stop there. But again, I want to focus in on the fact that we're talking about Jesus so far back. So I think now Sasa is going to jump into the book of Isaiah.
Yeah, I want to go to Isaiah 9. And Ben, just to that, the Messiah was the anointed one. And that's what Jesus was. He was anointed one coming for us. He was the one that they were looking for, even prophesied way before he came, which is pretty amazing if you look at the New Testament and how everything lines up. And Daniel is referenced as the revelation of the Old Testament because it's telling prophecy and foretelling prophecy of even that's backed up in Revelation. Those kind of books coincide with each other. I kind of want to go into Isaiah chapter 9 and look at verses 6 through 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Yeah. I think of all these things that he's called, just the weight of the government will be upon his shoulders. And you think of God, when he's called Wonderful, and that Wonderful is talking about his that he was fully human, but fully God, which is wonderful, which is amazing. I think of the word counselor. And he says, as you look in the Bible, there is no counsel that stands against the word of God.
Amen.
And he's been the counselor because he knows beginning and the end. Yeah. He has no, if there's somebody to get advice from, it's God. He is a great counselor because he knows all things.
Right.
He is the creator of all things. The mighty God, the things that he would do, that he would send forth his son, and he would be God, all man. The mighty God. And then here's the powerful one is he's everlasting, our Father. And Ben, as you know, when we get older, our fathers get older, and there's going to be a day when we will no longer have them on this earth.
Right.
They were no longer to give us counsel or to be there for us, but he is our everlasting Father.
Amen.
He will be there forever. Like he's been there from the beginning, from the time. And this is what I love is the Prince of Peace. Now, if we know anything in this world with politics, with even the older movies that I've been watching lately, they have they talk about Russia and how when I was a kid, the CCCP or whatever, Russia was a big threat to America. Mm-hmm. And there's always threat of war with man because man is never at peace with himself.
Right.
And there's going to come a day when God is going to be, there's going to be no more tears, no more sorrow. He is that Prince of Peace. He is the one that's going to come and set all things right. And this is telling you about in Isaiah. That he was coming, that he would be all these things.
Yes.
And I think of the song, Wonderful. I don't know if you've heard that song. I'm not going to say Counselor. Have you heard that song?
Yeah.
And it's Caleb probably would know more about that than I would have. So I don't know, whatever way they sing it. But it's pretty amazing song of all these things that God is, or Jesus, that he was in his son Jesus. Yeah. And he would be all these things to us. And I think about Christmas time and how I used to look at it as, well, I still do in a sense, but just gifts. And this time, Rebecca and I got this. Well, Rebecca did actually. She's a spiritual one. She got this Advent calendar, and it's 25 days of, and every day talks about he's our counselor, he's our Prince of Peace, he's the Everlasting Father, he's our Messiah. Just different attributes of God. He is just. And every week dealt with a different theme. And so we got it. And it starts December 1st to December 25th. Well, we're terrible at we're going to do our devotions nonstop. 2020, and then we go for 2 days, and then the wheels fall off, and then we get all miscombobulated. Well, this time we're like, we're going to do it. There's nothing, and then December 1st, we already messed up. Like we like, oh yeah, December 2nd came. We're like, oh yeah, we forgot it started. So we started behind.
That's okay.
Caught up, and then we did fairly well. Nate had a late game. I don't know if you remember in December.
Oh yeah,
and so we missed that night. Got back on track. And it's pretty amazing how it just, and it asks you questions at the end of saying, you know, if your focus is on gifts, and it's not on God, what's keeping you from the focus being on God?
Yeah.
And so we had to answer these questions as a family. And I kind of tried to get my mind right into why we celebrate Christmas or why it was significant that Jesus was born. Because we oftentimes, as we talked about us privately here, that, you know, you sometimes you're sick of Christmas just because we get so commercialized don't think about the reason for the gifts because of the greatest gift.
That's right.
Which we'll name this podcast. But I just thought it was interesting that these things about God are, he's still wonderful. He's still our counselor. He should be. He's still our mighty God. He's still our everlasting Father. And he still is the Prince of all peace.
Oh, it's amazing. You know, and it's interesting. This past week, we had kind of this whole celestial event. You know, we had the Star
of Bethlehem, right?
Yeah, the Star of Bethlehem. So we had this, you know, the Saturn. It was kind of aligning with Jupiter. And it was cool because, you know, my dad had given me a telescope a while back. And we pull it out from time to time just to, you know, check out the moon or whatever. But for whatever reason, we were like, hey, let's pull it out for this. And man, I pulled it out, lined it up. And man, we saw Saturn. We saw the ring on Saturn. We could even see three of Jupiter's moons. So you could see Jupiter and then you could see the three little moons just kind of. Wow. And you just sit there and you think.
That's pretty far away too, right?
Yeah, it's like billions of miles away. And you just sit there and you think, man, that's real. Like that's there. Like, and you're just in awe. Like, and it's, if you don't believe in God, it's like, how did that end up there? Like, how did that get there? And don't tell me that it was some big boom or, I mean, a big boom doesn't make that. I'm sorry, but it does not make that. I mean, it's just amazing. I think of Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. And it's just, it really is just amazing. But, and Jesus was there for all of that. I mean, you read in John, you know, it says in the beginning was the Word and the Word was God and the Word was with God. And it talks about how he was there in the beginning. Jesus was there, you know, even in Genesis, you read how, you know, when God made, you know, various things like, you know, the stars and that, they, you know, and you know, the day was done and he would say,
he hung the stars.
He would say, you know, it is good. And it was good, you know, and it was just, it's amazing. The creation, I mean, just, it just reveals how awesome our God is, but it all ties in. I mean, it's just like you were reading these various names of God. I mean, God is amazing. Jesus is amazing. He was there in the beginning.
I think of the stars he made, Ben, and just how, when he made those stars, the beginning of the time, he knew that those stars would lead the wise men to him. That those stars would shine on him as a baby. And that's pretty amazing. Like, wow, he made that.
Yeah. And it's amazing how it all ties together. I mean, those wise men, they had to be immersed in the scriptures. They knew because they were
looking. Well,
I
mean, waiting.
I read Daniel 9 right now and it gave some time frames. It was giving, you know, how many weeks, and I mean they knew how to chop all that up and they calculated it. So they were looking.
There's no Siri.
No. No, there was no Siri. There was no GPS.
No Google.
Yeah. No. But they found the Messiah. They got there, and they were there for his birth. And what an amazing story.
I mean, I think when he says also, if you seek me, you shall find me. And they were actually waiting for him. They were waiting for this Messiah to come. Mm-hmm. So they were seeking him. They weren't just passively, oh, shucks, I hope he shows up. They believed the word of God, and they were actively saying, he's coming. Will it be in my lifetime? Just like I wonder, will the rapture happen
in our lifetime?
In our lifetime. Yeah. I don't want to be filled with formaldehyde if I don't have to be, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I prefer not formaldehyde number 5.
We don't want to be, you know, eaten by worms.
That's right. I prefer not to if I can help it. Lord, come quickly. That's the prayer we should pray as Christians.
Yeah. But I'm going to jump over to Isaiah 53, which not necessarily has to do anything with the birth, but again, it's just prophecy about Jesus, which I love. And I'm just going to read a few verses here. It says Isaiah 53, starting in verse 1. It says, who has believed what he has heard from us? And whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him. No beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected. And this is speaking of Christ. I mean, then this is true. By man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. and as one whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But and here's talking about the crucifixion. Amen. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. And again, this is just speaking to not just Christ coming, but also his crucifixion. He was literally born to die for us. And he was born to save us and to be a testimony and to call men to repentance here on earth. And he was here for a brief time, and he set in motion the church, which is amazing. And yet he died. I mean, he was, you know, in his early 30s. I think they talk about maybe his early 30s, you know, theologians. And he was crucified for our sin. He lived a perfect life. I mean, he lived a sinless life, and he was this one that would come, the Messiah, the anointed one. And he's the one that we read about here, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. You know, he was despised. We esteemed him not. He was smitten, afflicted. And ultimately it says here, he was pierced for our transgression and he was crushed for our iniquities.
And Ben, just Kate was talking because we saw The Chosen. I'm not going to ruin it because you have not seen it yet. But it's a great little episode that they put a little teaser out there
for the
Messiah. And she asked us, because we're vain, is, do you think Jesus is good looking? Do you think he was a handsome man? And I think of this verse, he said there was nothing, no beauty that we should desire him.
Yeah.
So he didn't come. Vainly, I would say, I want, you know, even a little baby, I want some little baby muscles. Or I want to be handsome. And he said, no, that's not. He was nothing that we would ever think of a king, but he still was Almighty God, Almighty King, in that he was nothing that we would desire him to be.
Well, you know, and I think about that too. And I think, you know, he grew up as a carpenter, and these guys walked everywhere. So he had to be kind of cut, I think, honestly.
Some nice calves.
Man. Right. You know, but at the same time, I agree. But I also think, though, that I feel like his personality, that you're just drawn to it. Like, you know, there's some people, they might not be the most attractive people, but you're just drawn to them because of their personality or whatever. But he was God. I mean, Amen. How could you not be attracted to that, you know, that personality, that character that he is? I mean, he was God in the flesh, you know?
I think that's what The Chosen brings out.
Yeah.
That awesome part of Jesus, that people followed him because he was God.
Yeah.
And that's attractive. Yeah. If you're looking for that and you want, you know, it's a beautiful thing to see. And that's why I love The Chosen, is because it brings out that aspect, brings it to life of how people followed him anywhere he went.
It did such a good job with it. I love The Chosen, but I have not seen the Christmas episode, so I need to go watch the...
I will shut up. Rebecca, tell me, be quiet. Don't spoil it for me. But yeah,
spoiler alert.
And it was great to watch it yesterday on Christmas.
Yeah.
And it just kind of brought things together for me, like, wow, this is super cool. Because we finished that Advent calendar. We actually read it, and it was the 25th day of the Advent calendar was Singing Joy to the World.
Oh, wow.
So I won't sing to you, but as a family, we sang that song after reading Luke 2, and then we opened presents.
And I find it amazing. You know, you mentioned Joy to the World right now. I find it amazing that, you hear that song played all over the place. Like we were at Desert Ridge, a couple of days ago. The kids wanted to go there with their buddies or whatever. And, you're walking around and you hear all these Christmas songs, and they're singing stuff like Joy to the World. They're singing about the Messiah. I'm like, and these are like, you know, popular music stars, you know, that I don't know if they're Christian or not, probably not, but I don't know. But it's just amazing. You hear them singing these songs and they're singing about
the Joy
chosen
of the world.
One, the Messiah, the anointed one. They're singing these songs, you know, and it's
the very essence of joy. And hopefully they know him, but their life doesn't show that they do.
Yeah.
There's some of the artists I've seen sing these songs, but
well, and even like you mentioned earlier, you were talking about peace, you know, and I think a lot of people, you know, they, you know, people want to, we were talking about this even earlier, that, you know, people want peace, you know, physical peace on this earth, or, you know, back then, you know, the children of Israel or the Israelites, you know, they were under Roman government and they wanted to be freed from that. You know, they wanted peace. And I think a lot of times, you know, we're looking for this certain type of peace, but Jesus gives you a peace that your mentality doesn't understand. It surpasses your understanding. And it says it, I think, in Philippians somewhere. But it's just a peace that's different. But one day when he comes back, There will be a peace.
I think it's a perverted peace that we think of in our mind, of what we think is peace. We think of peace as comfort, and we don't see it. Just as they looked for the Messiah, they were looking for this fast king that would come in.
The fix.
Like yeah. Saul, right? Like yeah. Saul was head and shoulders above yeah. everyone else, and they looked at Saul and just said, wow, he's a leader.
Right.
And he really wasn't. No, David was the man after God's own heart.
Yeah.
And they were looking for this Messiah in their mind of what they thought he looked like.
Right.
And he didn't look like anything that they ever thought of.
Right.
But he was the Messiah, and he does bring peace. I think of Paul and Silas, right? They were in prison, and they were singing to God because yeah. they had that peace. Doesn't mean their situation was peace, but it means inside what God gave them that no one can give you is real peace.
Well, and I think, too, part of it is that you're at peace with the Creator. You know what I mean? I mean, you have, when you have Jesus, you're at peace with him. You're not at war with him, because if you're a child of God, you're at peace with him. You're not at enmity with God. James 4, you know, James talking about being at enmity with God or being an enemy of God. And if you're not a born again Christian, you are an enemy of God.
That's right.
Literally.
And I've heard, see, there's nothing sweeter than going to bed and putting your head on your pillow and have nothing between you and the Savior. And that peace and rest he gives you. And
that's right.
There's nothing between you and the Savior.
Amen.
And I'll just tell this quick story of this lady that in our church passed away. I talked about it in a podcast before, and she died during childbirth. And the week before she had the baby and passed away, she sang "Nothing Between Me and the Savior." Mm. And they played her recording of her singing that while she laid in the casket.
Wow.
And place was just cheers. I mean, people were wailing, crying. But and it made me think at that time, like, wow, what an amazing thing to have nothing between me and the Savior. And I have that peace that I have peace with my Creator, that no matter what happens to me, that I've accepted Jesus, the Messiah, his gift to me, and what peace that brings to me once you accept that gift of salvation.
Amen. Amen.
It's powerful.
It is. It's very powerful. I mean, it's just like you said, it's a title of the podcast, but it's the greatest gift ever. It's Amen. The greatest gift ever. Let's transition over to Luke 2 and, I'll go ahead and just start reading here, and then maybe we can kind of talk in between some of these verses, because it's a pretty good run of scripture here. So I'll just start Luke 2, chapter 1. It says, "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, and to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Amen. Who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" I just think, man, the way that the announcement came to those shepherds, it must have just been literally mind-blowing. I mean, that you think about shepherds, and they don't see a whole lot of action. They might get a coyote, a wolf, you know, a bear after the sheep, you know, and they got to go scare them off or whatever. And it's just quiet. It's just, they're what we call the boonies, and they're in the middle of nowhere. You know, there's not much action, so to speak, you know? And then, this angel appears and just, tells him of this coming Savior. What an announcement. I mean, it's got to be mind-blowing for these shepherds.
Well, you think of the glory of the Lord shown right about them. So that must have been a powerful thing, because it made them afraid. They were scared.
Right.
I think of it maybe the principal's office. Like whenever I was called to the principal's office, it never was a good thing for me. So when you see the glory of the Lord, you're even more so very fearful for his presence there. But he's like, hey, whoa, don't be afraid. You know, I come with good tidings. You're not going to be destroyed, but just the power. And as you watch The Chosen, Ben, you'll see how they beautifully depict this part of Luke chapter 2. Nice. But how they bring it to life. Not to say that's how it happened, but it makes sense. Of just, if the glory of the Lord appeared to you, I mean, that's pretty powerful. I would be afraid too. Like, you know, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. You know, like, what would you have me to do?
Yeah, I'm a man of unclean lips, so yeah, just like, fall at your feet.
Take off my shoes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and how we would bow down before the glory of the Lord. Right. We wouldn't have no choice.
Yeah.
So powerful.
Well, and I think too that it's interesting how the announcement came to shepherds. I mean, they were humble people, meek people. I mean, it didn't come to like the whole city, you know, when they were awake, you know, but they appeared to shepherds, which is interesting. And then, you know, we read in scripture how, you know, even, you know, like in John 10, we know when we were kind of going over why we named the podcast what we named it. It talks about Jesus being the door, but it also talks about Jesus being the shepherd, Amen. The great shepherd. And so I think it's just interesting how the Lord ties all this in together. Scripture is just so amazing. It's so deep. And you always have these parallels going on. But I think it's interesting how it was these shepherds that were
humble.
Yeah, they were notified.
They humility, were they were poor. They're right. Not these rich.
Right.
Well, you had the Pharisees. I mean, at the time. And they didn't go to them. He didn't go to the temple and make this proclamation.
No.
He went to the shepherds.
He went to
ironic that he, because he is the great shepherd.
Right.
That he went to shepherds to, that would understand.
Right.
Right. Who he
the
was.
The humility of this. Yes, yeah.
That's
pretty
amazing.
So, so we'll continue here. Let's see, where are we? Chapter 2, verse 15. Yeah. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it has been told them. And at the end of the 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And I think this is interesting too. They still stuck with the tradition of being circumcised after 8 days. In fact, I just read this, back in the Old Testament, when Abraham, I think, circumcised Isaac. But anyway, it's just interesting how, you know, this was traditional and they stuck with tradition.
It was that covenant,
they kept that
Abrahamic covenant.
It was Abrahamic covenant, right? And it's interesting because we're going to read about this here in just a second, though, of how Jesus was presented in the temple.
Well, I like how his name was given. Like, if I don't know if you and Diane had your son's names were picked out, but I wanted Nate to be called after Rosendo the Third. Rebecca wasn't having it. She said, we're not royalty. You can't name the third. So I'd put it in the middle name. And there was no debate here. The angel already told him, hey, his name is Jesus.
Yeah.
There's no debate whatsoever. And I think of the things that just, I don't know if Mary really understood. Maybe she did. There's a song, Mary, Did You Know? But did she really, did she understand that this was the Son of God? This was Jesus that she held. But I think it started to all make sense to her. And that's why it said she pondered him in her heart. She was like, wow, this is, I think when you think of your kids and maybe their first, the time they walked or they first said your name and all these things are, you know, you can look back and they're fond memories. And I think Mary too, even when he went to the cross and he said, you know, look after my mom when I'm gone.
Yeah.
And all these things she went back into her head and thought about. I marveled at the greatness of Jesus, even as a baby, be born to this world, how impactful he was to the world and to mankind.
Well, and you're right. And I think too, you know, Mary was probably a very humble person. I mean, it's interesting, you know, when the angel told her that she was to have the baby, she was kind of fearful, obviously, but you know, she was humble and meek, and she's like, well, let it be done to me as you have said, you know, and then the fact too that, you know, when the angel came to her said, you have favor with God, and it's like, whoa, that's a compliment, right? But it's like,
absolutely.
Wow. So Mary was chosen. And so it's an amazing story. And this is, and we're going to continue it here with, Jesus being presented in the temple. So verse 22 says, and when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. It is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens a womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him in his arms, and he blessed God, and he said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, Amen. That you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory for your people Israel. And I love this right here because Simeon, I mean, he was obviously a godly man. He was expecting Jesus. He was waiting for him. I mean, because he's like, wow, God, thank you. You let me see him. I can go. I can die right now in peace. I'm good to go. I got to see the Messiah. And then it's amazing. There's even more prophecy here. It's a light of revelation to the Gentiles. I mean, this was a savior, not just to people Israel, but to the Gentiles. I mean, I'm a Gentile. And so
me too. So they eat tacos.
So yeah, that's right. So I'm very, very thankful for this, but it's, again, it's just amazing. These little prophecies in here. And then the dedication. This is really cool. And then I think it continues here. It says, and his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel. Another prophecy. And for the sign that is opposed, and a sword will be pierced through your own soul also, so that thoughts from Mary's heart may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping and with fasting and prayer night and day. Wow, that's some dedication.
Yes.
And coming up that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem, which is amazing because here's another person who's expecting Jesus and she got to see him. And I mean, she was a devout Christian, I would say, because she's in the temple, I mean, praying day and night. And it's awesome because she wanted to go and testify. It says here, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And so she was out basically evangelizing. She was testifying.
And I think of Simeon, that was another name that we thought to name Nate was Simeon because of this passage here. Mm. And to think that he said, my eyes have seen thy salvation.
Amen.
So the prophecy that we talked about in Isaiah, that his eyes had, he was looking for that, and his eyes physically had seen that. And the parallel for us, when we meet our Heavenly Father, when we exit this world, that our eyes will see our salvation, because it's going to be fulfilled when we die in his promise of the gift that he's given us. And I think one day we'll see that same thing. We'll say, my eyes have seen thy salvation.
Amen.
And I look forward to that day. I will see him and my eyes will see my salvation.
Amen. Same here. I look forward to that day also. It's interesting. I taught a lesson to our youth group a couple of weeks back, and it was out of 1 John. And it's interesting because it was talking about the second coming. What's interesting though, in fact, I'm going to just read that really quick here because it's kind of ties in a little bit.
So like live not the world or...
No. This was so this is 1 John. We ended in chapter 2. I'll start in chapter 2 at the end of chapter 2, verse 28. So 1 John chapter 2, we'll start in verse 28. It says, and now little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, so again talking about second coming here, we have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. So, you know, when he comes, is he going to find you? You know, what state is he going to find you in? Are you going to be, you know, are you waiting for him? you know, are you doing what you're supposed to be doing as you wait for him, or are you going to be shameful when he comes? Then it says, if you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him, talking about being born again and the evidence that you see thereof. And then chapter 3, verse 1, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. So another amazing thought here is the fact that when you're born again, you're called a child of God.
Amen.
The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears again, the second coming, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. So again, like Sasa was just saying, we're going to get to see him in glory. When he comes back, we get to see him. So just some prophecy again here, talking about the second coming. So I know this is, we're talking about the greatest gift ever, amen, which is Jesus coming. But why did he come? He came as a sinless man and as God, and he died for us, and he ascended into heaven. So he came, and he's offered a solution to our sin problem. And if you've put your trust in the Lord, if you've asked him for forgiveness, if you've repented of your sin, and we've got an episode on repentance. I highly recommend listening to that.
Amen.
If you've repented of your sin, if you've asked him for forgiveness, if you're a child of God, then guess what? You can be expectant of him for a second coming.
Amen. What I like about this too, he was the reason he came, and the reason I say greatest gift, because he was the sacrifice. And a gift, to a certain extent, requires a sacrifice. Not I'm trying to belittle what he did, but just sacrifice of finances sometimes, sacrifices of time.
Yeah.
It requires something. It's just not something that, you know, we had a $10 elephant gift exchange, but it required 10 bucks, you know?
And yeah, you're not re-gifting something, right?
We're not supposed to. I don't know. I don't trust some of my family members. On Rebecca's side, I don't know. Rachel may have re-gifted something, but... sorry, Rachel. But it requires something of you. It requires a commitment. And I think of the Jesus coming, and it required the Father to turn his back on his own Son, and for his Son to be obedient to the Father, to God, to the Father's will. And it cost him something. It cost him his life. It and did. We could say, well, how can, you know, some people say, how can I accept something that's free? And that's why it's the greatest gift, because a true gift doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't say, well, Ben spent $35 on me, and I spent $40 on him, or vice versa. And so and then there's some people that are like that. Like, well, I gave you more than what you give me. And God says, hey, there's no strings attached. I'm sending my Son, the greatest sacrifice, the greatest gift. All you have to do is accept it.
Receive it.
And you'll be the adopted sons of God if you'll accept this gift. You'll have all the rights that come with being my child.
Your heirs.
The heirs to the throne.
Yeah.
And it's just an awesome gift that no matter what, I mean, I've had some cool gifts given to me throughout the years, an animator, basketball, not the pillow, but it wasn't my pillow. It was just a generic, it was before my pillow, but just some great gifts that I've been given, not the dartboard either.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're not going to talk about the dartboard.
Yeah, we'll not go there. Although Nate got an axe throwing dartboard, but just of all the gifts that I think like, wow, that was super cool. And I got some super cool gifts this year. But to think like nothing will ever top the greatest gift of salvation when I came to know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And that gift that we celebrate, the birth of Jesus Christ, because it was the start of the fulfillment of the promise that he said, I would send
Amen.
The Messiah.
That's right.
And just that's why we call it the greatest gift, because truly there's no other gift we could receive that even amounts to that.
Yeah. There's no gift that would touch that. Yeah. Amen. And it's interesting because, you know, Sasso and I, we've done our love language quiz. And Sasso likes gifts.
Yeah.
I'm more of a quality time and physical touch kind of guy. But this gift, I mean, we should be in awe.
Amen.
We should literally be. I'm reading this book actually right now. It's actually called Awe by Paul Tripp. And he talks about this as well, that, you know, we...
Good book.
It's good so far. You know, we should be in awe of our God. We need to spend more time being in awe of our God, be in awe of what God did for us. I mean, you talk about this, you know, sometimes, and it almost seems like we do it flippantly, you know, oh yeah, Jesus, you know, God sent his Son, Jesus, to die for our sin. You know, we should be in awe about that. We should,
Amen.
I mean, they should be our motivation to how we live our life. We should be in complete and most utter awe of our God.
And then I just something from the same author that Rebecca and I, she gave me the book. I forget her name. Forgive me. So it's Ruth and the Graceland Team. She put out this by C.S. Lewis, as a son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God. Mm-hmm. And she talks about how Christmas is really the start. So we look at it as a culmination, and we're a day after Christmas now.
Yeah.
And it's over. Like, oh, some people are relieved. But really it's the start of, wow, this is the Messiah that was born. And now it starts where he grows up and he will die for us. Mm-hmm. And this is the start of us, of our appreciation of, okay, he was born to die. But now we should every day praise him throughout 2021. And I think we'll have an episode about that coming up here. But just, this is the start of something good. The birth is the start of where Jesus fulfilled his promise to us that he would send a Messiah, the Anointed One, for the greatest gift we would ever receive.
Amen. And I think the awesome part of that start is we have to look forward to the second coming when Christ comes to capture his bride. And
that's why I sleep facing the east, like I told you. My head faces the east just in case he comes.
You never know.
I don't have to turn around. I'm there. I'm ready.
I'm trying to think what side I think I face west. Well, my feet are facing west. So I don't know. I guess I could kind of look up straight up. I don't know. There's no window on that side though. So I don't know.
I have a door, so I don't want to get messed up too bad when I go through it. So I have a door. So I'll go through that door. Hopefully. I don't know. I don't think it'll matter. But no, yeah, I always face the east because I know he's... And Rebecca thinks, she goes, you did not plan that. I go, I know, but it worked out that way. So we're going with, I face the east because Jesus is coming again for me.
He's coming, man. Yeah, amen. We need to be in awe of that too. We need to be in awe and we need to be ready.
That's right.
And so, well, I think that covers the scripture that I wanted to go through as far as the birth of Christ. And again, you know, we've had a great year so far, and we're looking forward to a good year. We're looking forward to it. I mean, I know there's a lot of craziness going on right now, but here's the thing. God is on the throne.
Amen.
And he's coming back.
He doesn't change.
So be in awe of that. Be in awe of the fact that we serve a great God, and he's coming back for us. He loves us. I mean, can you imagine the love it took to fix our sin problem? I mean, it was our
problem. Come to earth.
Our problem. I mean, I just read the story of, and I think I mentioned it, of, you know, Abraham and Isaac. And, you know, God told Abraham, hey, take your son up there and sacrifice him. And Abraham, I got to give him some props because he was obedient. He was going to do it.
He had to stop him.
He stopped him.
Because he was going to do it. He was obedient.
And he found the ram in the thicket. And that ram was also symbolic of Jesus. I mean, it's funny. You see Jesus all over the scripture. But Jesus was that perfect sinless sacrifice. And he did that for us. Why? Because he loved us. He loved us first. So,
amen. In closing, I would just like to say that this is to encourage our listeners, encourage one another to be thankful for the gift, the greatest gift we ever received. And many times we take for granted our salvation and we don't thank God for that gift. And very rarely in a Christmas gift, you'll say thank you more than the time you receive it. Because, I don't know, you just, maybe something you really like, you might say, hey, man, I was, whatever, that coffee mug you gave me, I still use it. But this is a gift that requires constant reminder to thank our God, to say thank you, God, for coming. Thank you for the gift of your son to us and what it means. And that hope that we can share with others of the greatest gift.
Yeah.
And this is a gift that's wonderful because it is a gift that is meant to be shared with other people. And I don't want to lose sight of being thankful for it. And then also in our thankfulness, sharing the gift that is available to all mankind with other people.
Right. Well, and on that note, you know, as a listener, we want to thank you for listening, but we would also encourage you to share this with others. Share this episode, share the podcast. And it's not that we want to see our numbers go up. We want to see others have lives transformed by Christ. An abundant life. Right. And so if you can, please share this out. You can share it out via text message, social media. You can visit our website, abundantlife.fm. I think we're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. And so just feel free to share out these episodes. And we thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. As we close out 2020.
As we close it out, yeah.
We'll see you 2021, Lord willing.
Lord willing. All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to the Abundant Life Podcast. We pray you were blessed by today's episode. please visit us online at abundantlife.fm. Until next time, may God bless you.